Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. You know, sometimes you have the opportunity to meet somebody and you say, you know what, there's just something about that person that you really, really like. And our guest today is that person. I had a conversation with her a little while ago with a wonderfully failed recording of our first shot at this podcast, which after we've done 180 of these things, it's the first time that audio just miraculously disappeared. So we get a do-over, which is awesome because you guys are going to freaking love Erica. And I had such a good time with her before that I'm really looking forward to talking to her again. Now, here's the kicker. So she's a marketing consultant and writer in financial services industry. She's got a number of blogs that she writes, where she pretty much writes for everybody: HuffPo, Business Insider, Money Magazine, a finance writer for Every Girl, Every Mom, and Cupcakes and Cashmere. So, I mean, she is a writer. We're going to talk a little bit today about doing an internal press release and the power of making sure that you're writing really good content. So, Erica, welcome to the show again.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Matt. I'm really excited to talk with you again.
Well, and I'm really glad that you came back, right? Because this is like the podcaster's nightmare of all nightmares. And just so everybody knows, I've got two different programs recording this podcast right now, just in case one of them doesn't work. But anyway, we fixed all the technical bugs. But Erica, thank you so much for being patient with us. So tell us a little bit about who you are. And, you know, kind of how you came to working in doing some content creation for financial services.
Sure. So I started my career as a CPA right out of college. I started there because I had been an econ major and I didn't really know where I was going, but I knew I liked money. So I started as a CPA working at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And after a few years, I really realized that while I like money, I like other things better, namely marketing. So I went back to school. I got my MBA from Duke University and focused in marketing. But while I was there, my goal really was to always go back to the financial services industry. I really found it interesting. I really like money, but I like communicating it to consumers, to the end clients, and kind of bridging that gap between experts and people out there who need their advice. Mm-hmm. So once I finished with my MBA, I took a role in some consumer marketing companies, really enjoyed that. And at the same time, I started writing my own personal finance blog just for fun, just as a way to practice, because I enjoy writing. Writing is a passion of mine. And it was a really fun creative outlet for me. It was fun to just write things that were of interest to me. And from there, I started gaining a little bit of traction. And so I was writing on all these different websites and I was starting to build an email list. And I suddenly noticed that there were some advisors and CPAs coming onto my email list. And I was a little confused as to why, because obviously they don't need this information, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not writing anything new. But what I soon realized was, you know, somebody reached out and sent me an email and said, "Hi, I really like that article. Do you do this for other people?" I said, "Well, I sure can." And so that was really how I got started on my own, dipping back into the financial services industry. It was a really organic way where I just started writing and the need presented itself for these financial professionals to figure out a way to communicate better with their target audience. And that's where I kind of stepped in and can help people.
You know, there was a movie many, many years ago. It was a Disney movie called Robots. And the whole premise of the movie was this gentleman who started the robot company. And it was see a need, fill a need. And that's how he became really successful. And Erica, that's exactly where you have come. You saw a need and you knew that you had the potential and the capacity and the skill set to fill the need. And so therefore, you know, you're doing that for advisors. And what are you hearing from financial services professionals about content creation? I mean, what sort of buzz do you hear, feedback that you get, your research has shown, and your experience in working with advisors that you feel our listeners should know about creating custom content or content in general?
Sure. So usually when people start working with me or considering working with me, the story is that content is hard. Content is hard and doesn't necessarily do anything. But they have like a little inkling that, well, maybe I'll give it a try. And so that's pretty much the story everybody comes in with, that it's, you know, it's hard, it might not work. They just feel like maybe they can't do it. But that's obviously not true. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I often hear people say once we've started working together, or, you know, once somebody is doing their own content too, because I do have some people that, you know, we start working together and then they're able to kind of branch off and take what they've learned and what we've kind of built together as a base and run it on their own with, you know, an assistant or something. What I hear a lot of is you don't have to do that much. So there's a lot of emphasis on quantity when before somebody gets into it. They're scared that they need to commit to a certain number of blog posts and they need to be a certain length and they need to have newsletters coming out all the time. And what I think people really realize once they get into that world of content is that there is no right number. There's just the right number for you and for your clients. And so it doesn't need to be as big and as overwhelming as people think when they first think of putting together a content strategy. It can be as small or as large as you want it to be. So for example, I do have one client who he doesn't want custom articles written because that just feels really overwhelming to him, but he wants a really good newsletter. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. It doesn't need to be an all or nothing proposition with content. And I think that that message gets lost sometimes, that choose what you want to do and then just do it really well.
I love that. You know, financial services professionals, as you know, being a recovering CPA, you know, really do see things very black and white. And you're right. We live in the world of gray. There is a happy medium across the board. But the important thing is that they have to communicate to their clients in the medium in which their clients want to be communicated to. Let's talk a little bit about, like, where do you get the ideas? I mean, you're doing a lot of writing. Where does your muse come from? I mean, where do you get this inspiration?
So not from myself, I'll be honest.
All right.
A lot of times. So if I'm writing personally for my own website, I get a lot of inspiration from people emailing me and having questions and, you know, wondering about things or just sharing their story with me. I can take that and come up with great ideas for topics to talk about. And so a lot of times advisors can do the same exact thing, right? You have your target market sitting in front of you or on the phone with you every single day. Mm-hmm. And it's perfecting the art of listening. So understanding that your client may come in with a question, and it's understanding what's behind that question that's going to help you create the best content or come up with the best topic ideas. And so taking time to kind of dive into that. One of the things I do when I start working with somebody that they can easily do on their own, but one of the things I do is I come in and I do client interviews. So I actually get a selection of their clients and I do 20-minute phone calls with them just to listen, just to understand why they started working with them, you know, what was the impetus there, what their needs are, what their concerns are, what they want out of life, what they hope for. And it's funny, once I go through those calls, I just have pages upon pages of topic ideas that I can go back to an advisor or a CPA and say, this is what your people are engaged with. This is what they want to know. And this is what they want to hear from you because you're the expert that they're looking to for this. And I think listening is a hard skill. Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult skill to hone and it takes a lot of practice, but it is so worth it. If you can just learn how to master the art of listening, your content, your marketing, everything that you do is going to get a lot easier and a lot better.
Yeah. listening is a skill. And I was just having a conversation with somebody about this yesterday, how important it is to practice listening. And I'm going to digress just for a moment, because that just really triggered this entire conversation I had yesterday. And the person looked at me and said, Matt, how do you practice listening? So before I answer how I practice, what do you do? I mean, how do you hone that skill?
You know, it's so funny, because I have to say, I'm a great listener in my job. And when I have to for these interviews, and it's funny, in my personal life, I can sometimes not be a very good listener. There's an on or there's an on and an off switch, right? And so it's either bringing in the tactics that I've learned and that I've learned from focus groups and working with customer interviews. And that's what I got with my I worked in consumer packaged goods when I did marketing for large companies. So through those focus groups and trainings, the strategies to learn how to listen. And so one of the things that I find most helpful practicing learning how to listen is to stop trying to direct a conversation. And we all do it, and we do it in our daily lives. But as you're listening to somebody, just stop yourself, and you have to figure out how to identify these thoughts that are forming in your head. But when somebody's sitting across from you talking, it's your natural reaction to start thinking of what you are going to say in response, because you're not okay with the white space. And so practicing stopping those responses in your head is one of the best things you can do. This next best thing that I love practicing is practicing white space, which can make people really uncomfortable. But there is a lot there's a lot that can come out of giving those blank spaces in conversation. So if I was to ask you a question and I'm letting it unfold naturally with you, if you pause for a few seconds and I jump in, I'm cutting off whatever you were going to say, and I'm all of a sudden not being a very good listener. But if I can pause and be comfortable with that silence, usually the person that I'm sitting across from or talking to on the phone, they are just gathering their thoughts, thinking about where to go next. And so it's getting really comfortable with that kind of white space silence that is really important.
I love to see where they go next. And so I'm very, very passionate about, you call it white space. You know, we refer to it as the 5 second rule, or, you know, a dramatic pause. There's lots of great names for it. But it takes somebody about 5 to 7 seconds to really process everything that just came out of their mouth, especially if they're just like a stream of consciousness. And giving them that space, that white space, will allow them to do exactly what you're talking about, Erica, collect their thoughts and then turn it into somewhere else. I love when I ask a question to a person, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, we are in a different country, in a different time zone and a different climate. And they're telling me about something that happened, you know, that had nothing to do with the initial question. But that's really the goal, right? That's really what they needed and wanted to talk about. You also said something that I don't think a lot of people understand, which is that generally we listen to respond. We don't listen to just listen, because we want to be snappy, we want to be quippy, and we want to be right on top of things. But one of the reasons why I love podcasting so much is I'm wearing headphones, right? So you're in my head. And because you're in my head, it's hard for me not to pay attention to you. Whereas when there's all sorts of auxiliary sounds and things like that, it's much easier for you to lose that auditory focus. And so my quick 2 cents on this, and then I want to talk about this internal press release, which is one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on the show and talk more, not just because you're freaking cool and fun to talk to, but what I do is if I'm in a public place, I practice listening in a public place. So I will try to listen 2 tables over to the conversation. And then if I can focus my hearing on that, then I'm going to take that to the next level, which is listen for intonation, listen to spacing, listen to pacing, because you can find out so much about the content, the emotional state that person's in. And I do that all the time. And I actually teach my family to do that too. Now, sometimes it drives my family crazy because, like you, you know, sometimes the people who I should listen to the most, I don't do as good of a job listening. But I'm in the same situation where I listen for a living and I talk for a living. So the last 2 things I want to do when I'm done working are talk or listen. So I have to do some hard resets there.
Yep, exactly. I like to say that I'm a good listener, and my husband always gives me side eye when I
totally.
Say that. He's like, no, you're not. I'm like, no.
My wife does that. My wife does the total same thing. She's like, really? What did I just say? And I'm like, damn it. I totally forgot what you just said. I love you. Well, you know, the other thing, Erica, and this is really, and this would be a fun whole other podcast that you and I should do just for giggles, but when I've been with my wife for 20 years, our 20th anniversary is this year, and I've heard her voice every day for 20 years. There is proof that from a neuroreceptor capacity that her voice is not as loud as everybody else's voice because my brain has heard it so much. It's like, you know, if you work in a factory, you know, and there's an ambient noise in the factory, right? Your brain will tune out that ambient noise over time. Right. So that's one of the reasons why we as successful people in relationships have to practice and have to reset some of that stuff to make sure that that you're paying attention to your significant other. But let's talk about paying attention to people using an internal press release. Help us with, you wrote an article about this. It's in Medium. And by the way, we'll have the link in the show notes. But let's talk about that article or the article that sparked this whole idea.
Sure. So it actually this idea was, it's not mine, I've taken it from, I used to work at Amazon, and at Amazon, the thing that they do best is putting the customer first. Everything starts with the customer and what they need and what they want, and they work backwards from there. So they don't spend a lot of time launching products or new ideas or anything that isn't going to fly with their customer base. When they launch something, they know that their customer is going to love it. And they know that because they go through a very long process. And a part of that process is the internal press release. And so I've taken that and I use it personally. And I know a lot of people do as well. I don't use it as intensely as they do there because it would take months for internal press releases to be done. And it was a lot. But the idea with an internal press release is that anyone, I mean, as a business owner, you have so many ideas for what you want to do. And these ideas sound so great when they're in your head, when you're talking to a coworker, when you're talking to your spouse, you know, these ideas are the best, and they are going to be the thing that moves the needle in your business. However, oftentimes people will launch an idea. So let's say they want to launch a podcast or start a blog or do some in-person workshops, anything. They'll launch this idea and they'll have lackluster results. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's missing is that though your excitement is, you know, a 10 out of 10, you've forgotten to think about why your clients or your customers will care. Like, why do they actually care? So an internal press release is a tool that I love to fill out and to use. And it's really, you're writing a press release like it's launch day. So when you have an idea, let's say you want to launch a podcast, or let's say you are going to start a weekly newsletter. Let's go with that one. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, I'm really excited about this. Now you're going to go through and you're going to write an internal press release, and you're going to pretend that your newsletter has now been out for 3 months, and you will have fake quotes from customers, and you will have the story of, you know, how this is impacting people's lives and what they're getting from it and what they love from it. And so you are acting like it's already out there and successful. And doing this, it really helps people drill down to, oh, what will my customers say about this? Why would they actually want to read this weekly newsletter? What's in it for them? And it helps you kind of bring that shift your perspective really back to bring the focus back to the customer, which, or your client, which is really the most important thing for your business.
My God, people, I really hope you guys just all wrote stuff down on that. Cause that is one, it's brilliant marketing planning. When you had talked about this before with the Lost podcast, I brought this to my team immediately. And I was like, oh my God, I just interviewed, you know, Erica, she just brought this stuff up. We have to talk about doing this because when we change the focus to being a desired outcome based, it changes. You know, somebody had told me that, I've never done this personally, when you run a marathon, you know, your goal is always to make it to like the next water station, right? Your goal isn't to make it to the finish line. A lot of times your goal is to just make it to the next water station. And then you see the finish line and everybody cheers and, you know, you hopefully don't die and fall down and whatever. But you know, this to me, having this sort of focus is the best of all of those worlds. Cause not only are you looking at the finish line, but you're also pacing yourself for those water stations along the way. This is what our outcomes, this is what we want our clients to say. This is what we want our clients to do. And Erica, when we onboard a new podcasting client, one of the first questions that we ask them is, what does success mean to you? And, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, I want to get $100 million in new assets under management with my podcast. And we're going to say, we're not a good fit. That's it. That's not going to happen. Now, it might happen in 10 years. It might happen in 5 years, but it's definitely not going to happen within the 12-month agreement that you set with us, right? So, you know, and if your financial advisor does that, or your CPA, your estate planning attorney, your real estate agent do this internal press release, it's also a good gauge to make sure that there are realistic expectations. That's one of the things that kills relationships in general, whether it's personal or professional, is unrealistic expectations. Now, If anybody has been paying close attention, which of course they have, because, you know, what else are they doing besides probably sitting on a treadmill, going for a walk, or being in their car listening to the podcast, they probably want to know more about what they can do to engage you. So if you don't mind, how can our listeners say, man, something about Erica, I just really like her a lot. You know, I like her voice. I like her tone. I like her take on this stuff. How can people get in touch with you to hire you? What are you looking for? Who's your ideal client? Would you mind helping us out with that?
Sure. So I work with independent financial advisors, I work with CPAs, and I work with CPA PFSs. And so really my ideal, the ideal person that I work with is somebody who is excited to try new things, who is excited about marketing, and honestly is really excited about building a brand for themselves. And I have to say that is the, or for their firm, I have to say that's really the underlying factor that weaves all of my clients together, is wanting to kind of build a name for themselves. And so if anybody wants to get in touch with me, they can reach out to me at theworthprojectconsulting.co or .com. We have both of them. And my own personal finance website, if you'd like to see me there and sign up for my weekly newsletter, is theworthproject.co. And so, yeah.
Well, I was doing more due diligence to remind myself of everything when you were going to be on the podcast, and you do a lot of writing. And I know that there are a lot of people who listen to this podcast who specifically want to focus on communicating more effectively to younger, successful, career-driven women. And you're involved in some of those publications. Would you mind sharing a couple of those that they can find you on?
Sure. Yep. I write. I'm actually the finance editor for the Every Mom. I graduated. I used to be the finance editor for the Every Girl. And then they started the publication for people who are more my age. And so I actually just finished an article for them right before hopping on here. So I write for them. I also was the finance contributor for Cupcakes and Cashmere, which has nothing to do with money. Neither of these sites have anything to do with money, but they both reach the millennial female demographic and generally skew a bit older, millennial professional female. And so those are two of the really main sites that you can find me on for my writing that is female focused. I also have a weekly column on Forbes where I interview women about negotiation. And so that's very, very much a female focused professional space that I write on.
And for those listening who do want to target that demographic, please understand that utilizing other people's thought leadership and then putting your comments on top of it, like, hey, I just found this amazing article by, you know, Erica Gellerman. She wrote about this with negotiation with this top, you know, female, you know, executive of this company. You know, these are the sorts of women that we love to work with. Man, that makes you look super, super good, right? That you're plugged into the, yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, how you do marketing. I mean, you have a marketing mindset. What sort of ways could they use your content to get to this audience?
I mean, my content, or really any content that you find interesting out there, I like to tell people when they are looking for content to share and engage, is to step outside of only the zone of money, because I feel like sometimes we get a little pigeonholed in that. So think about what other things are going on in their life that they are concerned about and find content that relates to that. A lot of it actually, which I've found that a lot of people engage with really well, specifically from that demographic, is personal development and career content. And that is great stuff to share. So if you can find very thoughtful articles related to career, if you're focusing on women, if you can find very thoughtful articles related to the balance of motherhood and earning or motherhood and working, those pieces are gold. And they show somebody that you are empathetic with what they're going through. You get them and you understand them outside of just the asset under management number. You understand them as a person and as a well-rounded person. So really don't be afraid to reach beyond the money articles, because there is so much out there. And that's really how you can build a much deeper and more meaningful connection with somebody, is to understand that they're dynamic, you know, they have all of these different interests, and so do you, and connect with them on those.
And that's what we want in our outgoing communication to our clients and prospects, is for them to feel and understand who we are, and really that we're talking directly to them. So Erica, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I'd like to have you come back another time and talk a little bit more deeply about marketing specifically to millennial women, if you don't mind.
That'd be freaking awesome. I think there's definitely a huge opportunity out there that everybody seems to overlook.
I don't get that at all. In fact, one of the ladies who I just interviewed, she's the woman of the year for an organization called WIFS. And she was just an amazing guest, and she's just an amazing human on top of being an unbelievable financial services professional, financial planner. But that's who she focuses on. And she's like, Matt, you don't understand. I can't keep up with it. Now, they're the easiest money, right? So, I mean, to be brutally honest, they're not an easy 401k rollover right into retirement where they're going to take income, which is what a lot of advisors really like. But they're the stickiest, most grateful. I mean, she just went through this list of all of the reasons why she absolutely loves it. She's like, I would rather take 100 women like this than 2 women like this, or 2 men or couples like this. So I'd love to have you back. So we're going to have you back, and we're going to talk about that. I'll make sure that we get that scheduled. And make sure, everybody, that you go out and go to the My Worth website. The worthproject.co and the workproject.com. Connect with Erica on LinkedIn. It's Erica Gellerman, G-E-L-L-E-R-M-A-N. And if you're already connected with me, then you're just a second connection away. Hire her, have her do some writing for you, use her articles, use her thought leadership, follow her on social, because she's also going to connect you to that audience. If you want to start paying attention to one of the largest demographics that very few people pay attention to, number one. Number two, that are going to have 90% of the wealth at some point in their life, which is another huge statistic. And 70% of women leave their husband's financial advisor because they don't feel like the financial advisor talks to them. So if you're able to communicate to them using great content written by a great person that we love at Top Advisor Marketing, then please make sure that you follow Erica. So Erica, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Please, if you all have a moment, rate us on iTunes. I know I've said this a couple of times, but you know, if you have subscribed to the podcast, all you have to do is click that stars button. It's super helpful to us, and it also provides us feedback. If you know of a person who'd be a great guest, or if you have a topic idea for the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, all you have to do is email me at topadvisorm.com. That's Matt at topadvisorm.com. And finally, if you know somebody who needs to hear this podcast, just click that share button, and that way Erica's thought leadership can come from you, and they're going to be truly grateful for you being a great friend and a great professional. So for everybody at The Worth Project and Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.